The 15th Conference of the Parties of the UN Biodiversity Treaty in Montreal, Canada, late last year, led to an agreement to address biodiversity loss, restoration of ecosystems, and protection of indigenous rights. Nations pledged at COP15 to protect 30% of the planet by the year 2030 and mobilize at least $200 billion a year in funding. They also agreed to send $30 billion a year from developed nations to the developing ones that contain most of the world's biodiversity. Concerned scientists hope it's not too little too late. Already there has been a nearly 70% decline in the world's animal population since 1970, according to a World Wildlife Fund study. Not only are the Amazon and Asian rainforests under threat, the Congo Basin in Central Africa is also a critical biodiversity hotspot and a linchpin in the fight against climate disruption. For more, I'm joined by Irene Wabiwa. She's an international project leader for Greenpeace Africa based in the Democratic Republic of Congo and attended COP15 in Montreal. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you.
I want you to give us the big picture here. Why is biological diversity a global issue? In other words, why is there an international convention on it?
Yeah, that is a very huge question, but very good one. You know, the global biodiversity loss is at the heart of the planetary emergency, the planetary crisis that we are all facing now. As the climate change, the biodiversity crisis is also becoming a real threat to the planet. So to protect the important ecosystem and habitat, to preserve the natural environment that is key to our own well-being, the global community must take action now and collectively. And that's why the Global Biodiversity Agreement is really, really necessary. The target has been set in Montreal. We now need to quickly move from papers to the implementation, from speeches, from signature to action on the ground, including the mobilization of finance. Without the appropriate finance, the biodiversity crisis that we are facing, that is changing our life day to day, will be there and will continue to struggle as we are struggling.
How do the financing commitments made in Montreal at the biodiversity COP15 compare to the need?
The finance issue was one of the most tricky issues at the Montreal conversation. We should say that there is clearly a huge biodiversity finance gap. Estimates are suggesting up to $700 billion annually that is needed to protect nature. But in Montreal, government has agreed to mobilize at least $200 billion per year. You can see that is not enough.
Now, my understanding is that indigenous lands make up about 20% of the Earth's territory and have about 80% of the world's remaining biological diversity. To what extent can lands occupied by indigenous people be conserved without bringing indigenous peoples into the discussion, indeed giving them credit for their stewardship over all these millennia?
We have so many examples, unfortunately. And in the Congo Basin region, which is the second largest rainforest of the world, is a region that is composed by 6 countries. We could see many countries like in Cameroon, in the Republic of Congo, where communities have been displaced from their land because the country has decided to create a national park. We have the example of Kahuzi Biega National Park, where indigenous people have been asked to move away very far from their traditional land because that land has become a national park. They were not consulted. They were not informed. They only saw conservationists coming to ask them to move because they need to protect that forest. And if this decision was taken to transform that land, that piece of land, into a national park, it's because those indigenous people have been protecting this land for many decades. Otherwise, they couldn't fund anything. And instead of recognizing the effort of those communities and involve them in management, creation of national park, decision-making, they just move them away. And that is not fair. No deal on biodiversity or nature protection can be successful if the rights of communities and indigenous people that are the best guardian of this ecosystem are not respected. We are happy that the deal in Montreal recognized the rights of communities, their free and private consent to be respected, but we need to see those targets being implemented, transformed into action, decision on national level.
The Congo Basin, of course, is the world's second largest tropical rainforest after the Amazon And some would say it is the most intact tropical rainforest. Describe it for us, if you could. Talk about the plants and animals and people who can be found in the Congo Basin.
The Congo Basin is really is rich. It's beautiful. It's one of the most important wilderness area left on the earth, if not the intact area left on the earth, as you were saying. It represents 70% of the African continent plant cover. So it's huge. It's rich. About 26% of the planet's rainforest is lying in the Congo Basin. It has a lot of rivers, a lot of savannas. We have the biggest tropical peatland in the Congo Basin. It's also a home to large mammals such as gorillas, elephants, buffalo, many other species that you can only find in that region. We're talking about over 11,000 species of tropical plant and more than 1,200 species of bird, 700 species of fish. So it's an area that needs to be protected. It's the second lung of the planet. And if the coming Montreal deal needs to be a reality, needs to be successful, that means the Congo Basin as a region needs to be protected at any cost.
Now, as I understand it, the peatlands in the Congo, in Central Africa there, are the world's largest tropical peatlands complex. I think there's some 16 million hectares there. That would be bigger than England and Wales combined. And they've been managed sustainably by local communities for hundreds of years. Now, according to scientists, they hold some 30 billion metric tons of carbon. That's more emissions than the U.S. emits every year. What are some of the dangers facing the peatlands?
Exactly. The Congo Basin is the largest complex of tropical peatland in the world. And this very sensitive complex has been protected by communities again and indigenous people since its existence. And as you were saying, they store almost 30 billion tons of carbon, the equivalent of 3 years of global emissions from fossil fuel. But unfortunately, these peatlands are facing some serious threat. Taking the example of the DRC, where more than 19 billion tons of carbon are lying, the DRC government has decided to auction 27 oil blocks, including in the forest protected area and the same peatland. And according to the scientists, if these oil concessions are not stopped, more than 1 million hectares of those peatland will be impacted by the oil activities. And talking about forest, more than 11 million hectares of forest, that is huge, will be impacted. So if the oil blocks are not stopped in the DRC, which is more than 60% of the Congo Basin rainforest, this huge environmental disaster will impact our humanity, our planet, and our life will never be the same. That's why we are calling the DRC government to stop its oil auction and preserve the future of the humanity.
Irene Wibaba is the International Project Leader for Greenpeace Africa. Thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks a lot, Steve.